Welcome to the Williams Neken YB Herton phone conference line. This service is provided by FreeConferencePro.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
Glad to hear you're on the phone today.
Yeah, starting out the recording.
Thank you, Steve. Some other people have joined us and they say hi. Wow, Donna's on the... Donna, are you on the phone yet? She wrote her whole city and her whole state out there, so we really know where she's from. I should think it would be fun to take the motorhome around and go travel and see everybody.
Well, how come you're not doing that?
We did that almost when we had Whitney and Jasper. I was homeschooling them. We went for 3 months.
I know you did.
Well, one thing, when we went then, I thought, wow, the nicest place is at home. But we sure did have a good time.
Yeah.
Good morning. This is Donna.
Oh, there. We were just saying, we really know where you live because you even wrote in your city. That was really nice.
Oh.
Not that I know where that is.
Oh, it's about 20 miles out of Washington, D.C.
Oh.
And it's probably about 7 miles to Tyson's Corner, Virginia. I have a question for you. On the first slides you put together on page 3, they were kind of, you couldn't read them too good. And then we redid it, you could see them real clear when you printed them out. But now, since you redone it again, because you added a GMO, on those two slides, 3 and 4 were the best protein choices and the favorable carbohydrate choices. It's like, like, see it, how it's kind of broken up? And it prints out that way, too. But when you had the slides for this one, they didn't break up.
The current ones are better or worse?
Worse. The last one was better. The first ones were like this, and the second one you did was very clear, but now it's back to this again. So I was just wondering.
I'll check and see. What I want to do is, see, these are copied from a different program. Originally, my daughter had done them on Excel, but then when I thought, well, we would just move them over into PowerPoint, but it didn't work as well as I'd like to have had it work, and I can't change them in PowerPoint.
Okay, well, whatever you did last time, they were very clear. This
I
time,
I get to try it again, huh? Okay.
Maybe. I don't know if it's too much trouble, but it's hard to read, and you have to really...
Yeah. What I really want to do is do them all over in PowerPoint.
Uh-huh.
But that will take me quite a long time.
I mean, I appreciate you doing all this work for us. That's so nice of you.
I'll see if my daughter will. I'll teach her how to do PowerPoint, and then then she'll do it for me.
Hey, Ruth?
Yes.
Yes?
If you got the Office 2010 Excel,
uh-huh.
You can save it to PDF. And a lot more people have PDF than they do the...
Move it with a PDF?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just save it as a PDF instead of trying to do the other.
Okay. I can try that.
It takes seconds.
But I've made a lot of changes in it, too, so...
Right. Well, you know, if you're in Excel, you know, make the changes in Excel and then just export it out to...
Yeah.
PDF and put it on the web as a PDF instead of a PowerPoint.
Okay, I'll try that.
Because almost everybody can use PDF where they can't use PowerPoint. Well, they can if they download the reader.
So. Okay. Monty. Thank you very much, Steve. I will try that. That will be a lot easier than changing the whole thing. Good morning, everybody. Monty, are you on the phone?
And I'm saving it. I'm recording the WebEx today.
Yeah, I'm here, Ruth. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay, great. So good morning, everyone. Monty is hosting today, and so Monty lives over here in Olympia, Washington, and he is a gold in MECAN, and was with us when we did our lifestyle before, and so we are very excited to have him do another one of his terrific Fridays. Monty.
Thank you, Ruth. It's a pleasure again to be here. I'd like to thank everybody that's on the call. It's kind of nice to wake up in the morning and know that you can get on the telephone and have a support group that is thinking the same way you do and doing the same things you're doing and having the same kind of situations maybe in regards to health, but knowing that we are, the things we're doing are, we're heading in the right direction. And I guess that's what's most important to me and particularly for my body. What I try to do on Fridays is kind of go over and review a little bit of what happened over the last week. And one of the first things I want to say is that if you, for some reason, you've ever missed a call and want to get caught up, or you hear something that you want to go back over again and maybe understand a little better, you can always go to Steve Crowfoot's website. It's called allswell.org. That's allswell.org. And you can get in there and click on health, lifestyle, healthy choices, and you can have the access available to listen to those recordings that Steve does, and he's recording it on a daily basis as much as he possibly can. I haven't been in yet, but Ruth talked about how he, also now there's even a video, the video that he did in regards to a couple of Ruth's, or one of Ruth's, excuse me, got a little bug here this morning, but trying to, at least the video's there, you can go in there and also watch that, and that's kind of new too. On Monday, Ruth kind of talked about, she went back over and reviewed the entire program again, checked on the charts, talked about them. We had some general discussions on pretty much how we feel about what's going on, and she liked what the charts said. Martha Sue on Terrific Tuesday, which is her day, she again talked about being transparent and don't worry about so much what the results we're getting, but we're understanding again that good things are happening. On Transparent Tuesday, Karen and Ruth talked about a few things that they're have, and one of the main reasons they're on the program, and they're trying to get dissolved. On Wednesday, Mary Helen is our host, and she talked about awareness and listening to our body, emotionally and physically. I know that's one of the things that I've really been able to understand on this new program, is that how my body is particularly relating to inflammation and the way that it speaks to me and the things that it does, that I know that I'm, again, headed in the right direction. But I also know that if I indulge in something that isn't too proper for my body that causes inflammation, that it definitely talks to me about that. And one thing I have found about inflammation, and that is that it pretty much is almost an instant response. Once you can start, because you start feeling different, your body reacts differently, but we're all different. So we all have different things that we need to get in touch with in our body. We need to be comfort over health. In other words, we are heading in the right direction. And she kind of talked about her husband being in the hospital and how that she had to pretty much be on top of everything, and that there's just things that even the medical profession really doesn't understand, that most of us on this call better understand now because of the books that we're reading, and particularly The Abascal Way, and How to Quiet Inflammation by Kathy Abascal. Ruth has attended her class, so we get a lot of good information there. And she also talked about losing weight. It's not vanity. It is a purpose of good health. And I that really made sense to me, is that sometimes we think about more what we look like than what is really happening in our body. And that losing weight, of course, is one of those things that makes us look better, that's for sure. I know the other day I went to my podiatrist, and the first thing she said to me is, oh, you're losing weight, you know. Well, I guess that's the first thing that people physically see when we're on a program and getting our body in better health, is that people do recognize that. But the thing that I think that's important is that our bodies are terrific, and we need to take care of it, and that it's also a temple. And Mary Helen talked about that, and I think that was very important, is that we just need to take care of ourselves, and if we don't, who's gonna? And we're the ones that, in most cases, I know I'm only do the cooking for myself, so I'm only concerned about me, but most of you on this call have spouses and children and grandchildren and whatever, and that we need to just make sure that when we do produce and cook foods for other people, that we're trying to, that we know that we're helping them at the same turn. On Thursday, Ruth talked about GMO and that how approximately 80 to 60% of all foods have been altered. And sometimes people wonder, well, what's that got to do with, you know, with food? Well, are we really eating what we think we're eating? And, you know, that the corn and soybeans and potatoes and tomatoes and even cotton and some squashes and everything else have been genetically modified. Most of it is for the purpose of providing that the end result of the seed turns out better, grows quicker. It's just like tomato. One of the things they do with tomatoes and GMO is that they get into messing around with the GMO in the tomato is they're actually trying to get the tomato to ripen faster. One of the reasons for soybeans and things like that they feed cattle is that they're getting the cattle to gain more. And that also has to start with growth hormones, I know, but even the food that they're putting in have been genetically modified for certain purposes. A lot of us to control the weeds and the pesticides, but unfortunately, the bad problem with GMO foods is that we ingest that, and it's foreign to our body because it's not the way that the DNA in that particular products are not the way that our body recognizes that food, so then it doesn't treat it properly. So that's kind of what happened this week. I learned a lot from listening to the program. And one of the things I'd like to do at this particular time, for those of you that are on the call and would like to maybe speak up, and that is there anything during last week that you heard that was kind of an aha, or it made sense to you? And remember, each one of us are different, so is there anybody out there that would like to kind of speak up and say about something that they heard that motivated them?
Monty, I wanted to say something that I might have heard wrong. 60% of the corn was modified, I think, not 60% of all of our food. We really have a hard time finding something to eat.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything you would like to say or mention?
Last week, you guys, or sometime this week, you talked about a cookbook, and I finally got my book from Kathy Abascal, and sure enough, there's a cookbook in it. I was thrilled to death, and last night, I made a sweet potato salad, and it's really good. You guys got to try that if you get a chance.
Well, you know, that has a, Karen, thank you for bringing that up, because that has an awful lot to do with the way that we're now eating, and that is to eating more whole foods and plant foods, and there's just not a lot of recipes out there that think that way. You know, they put a lot of different ingredients in it, and a lot of wheat and stuff like that that we're trying to avoid because of the gluten that's in it. And I know I've tried to, I just love her, I think it's called Joanne's Muffins. The nice thing I like about it is only cooking for myself. I can make up a batch of them, and like Kathy says, they make a good a breakfast in the morning because they're basically a lot of protein in them. But, you know, then I can mix that with other fruits and vegetables, and I usually use a lot, I eat a lot of fruit in the morning, and I eat cantaloupe and pineapple and melon and grapes and apples, and I just basically get them and cut them up and into chunks and store them in the refrigerator in some good alkaline, little bit of alkaline water in the bottom of it, of the bowl, which in order to just keep the moisture there. But, you know, that really kind of, and I know that's one of the things that's really helped me in regards to breakfast, because I was eating an awful lot of whole wheat bread and things like that. And also the other thing that's really helped me out is that getting off the gluten products. Now, I know that some people say, well, I don't have celiac disease, or that's one of the main things that people that are really allergic to gluten, which is an indigestion, it's an intestinal problem. But, you know, I really feel that even though we might not have celiac disease, that it's still affecting our bodies. And that's one of the other things that I really feel that's happened to me in regards to the inflammation is by not eating those things that have gluten in them, that's the other side of it, besides not only the food that I'm putting, but the proper foods that is also helping me. And, you know, we talked about how inflammation is but you don't have to be overweight to have inflammation. You don't necessarily have to have diseases or hurts and discomforts to have inflammation. Is that even because we can have inflammation around our organs and things like that. And that's why inflammation, and Ruth has always said this, always, as far as I'm concerned, is that that's one of the main causes of our discomfort. I know when, you know, it's like, how does our body talk? It's like when we have pain, our body's talking to us. It's telling us something's wrong. Something, you know, it's we need to, the body's screaming out for help. And in most cases, in the old days, we really didn't know how to handle those particular situations. And now with the Neekin products and understanding how they help our bodies to be able to do what the body needs to do to function properly, it's just, you know, I really think we're heading on the right track. I definitely know that Neekin is headed on the right track. One of the other things that Ruth has talked about, and that is our liver, and you know how our liver is. I didn't realize that our liver is such a main part, an organ of our body, and the things that it does to us. You know, it's vital because it basically handles so many critical functions in our body. You know, it maintains our blood sugar levels. It sorts and processes nutrients from our food, packaging fats and shipping them to other parts of the body where they're needed. One of the other things I didn't understand, and that's happened to me quite a few years ago, is that I had gallstones real bad. And I got to the point to where when I would exercise, I'd go out walking in the old program and really kick, you know, moving out and getting some real good exercise and walking. I get this discomfort in the middle of my back, and I couldn't figure it out. I thought, oh, well, maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be, you know. And then come to find out that when I really got delving into it and understanding that was one of the symptoms of a bad gallbladder. The other thing is that sometimes we eat real fatty or real spicy foods. Sometimes we get that discomfort, and that's basically from causing the gallbladder. And one of the other things I really didn't understand about gallbladders is that it's connected pretty much to the liver. And what the liver does, the liver produces bile. The gallbladder then it goes into the gallbladder, which stores it. And it holds about anywhere from 4 to 5 basically fluid ounces of bile. And then when we eat foods, the purpose of bile is that most toxins that we have in our body we can get rid of it through our lungs, water droplets, sweating, urination, those kind of things. But fat, have you ever taken a glass of water and put some fat in it? What does that do? Does it kind of mix all up and become one liquid, or does the fat kind of accumulate on the top in clumps? Well, we can't get rid of those type of things in regards to our sweating or urination and through our lungs, so that what bile does is basically bile becomes the carrier, and the gallbladder releases the bile into those fat solubles, which then kind of absorb it, and that way we can pass it through our body and a lot of our fat soluble type things through our waste. So I didn't realize how important that was. And getting back to gallstones, I found out here just recently that gallstones, we all have it. We all have gallstones. The only problem with gallstones is that when we get our gallbladder gets so full of gallstones that they start moving around, and all of a sudden they get caught up in the duct, and we can't get out. And so that's when we have the particular problem. I didn't realize that over 1 million people every year are diagnosed with gallstones, and that 700,000 people here in the good old USA basically have to have surgery for gallstone removal. And when you realize what gallstones are, they're nothing more than 80% of them, or 80 to 90% of all gallstones are made of pure crystalline cholesterol. What are gallstones? Now, there are other ones from calcium and uric acid and those type of things, but most of them are cholesterol. Now, how do we get cholesterol in our bodies? We get cholesterol through eating animal fats and those type of things that create the particular problems that we have, because cholesterol basically pretty much isn't in plants. Now, all plants have all types of different things in them. Okay, but the main way that we receive cholesterol in our bodies is through animals. That's one of the reasons we are getting away, and I know I am now, pretty much getting rid of totally animal products, meats and those type of things out of my system, because I know that really can create a problem. So the only way that we can get rid of cholesterol in our body is through dietary means. One of the things they found out, too, that people that an amazing fact is that the ratio of people that have gallstones is 9 to 1. Now, that means that basically people that eat cholesterol or animal meat and people that eat more of a plant-based food diet or not a lot of protein, meat proteins, is that basically the ratio is 9 to 1. That if you eating meats and those type of things, your ratio goes up 9 to 1 chances of having gallstones. So here again, that again verify things like that I've learned, again verifies that basically the way that we're now learning how to eat better and get more involved in plants, that we're just again basically doing something that's basically beneficial to our bodies, and I'm totally getting excited about that. I'm doing a lot of talking here. Does anybody have any questions? Or any comments that you'd like to make so far?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment to make. This is Donna. This morning I watched the movie Food, Inc., and I'd recommend everyone to look at it. It's something. It opens up your eyes.
Well, you know, Donna, thank you for making that. Was Food, Inc., as it's called?
Uh-huh, and it talks about how the nation's food industry, how it's done, you know, like raising of the animals and things.
I have a question, if it's appropriate now.
Go ahead.
I wonder if there's any first aidy type thing that can be done, something of Mekon product or something. All of a sudden yesterday, I just completely broke out with inflammation. I call it my gouty condition in my wrists, my legs, my ankles and my elbows and my fingers. And I have to audition for a play coming up here real soon, and I'm supposed to move some things around. And I just realized that I cannot eat sharp cheese because I ate a lot of that, and I got sort of gouty once before, and then 2 days ago I ate a lot too, and I went, oh, I have to change this. And I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do sort of fast here to hurry this thing along in so far as getting better. I'll get off the phone now for some answers because I have interference on my phone.
Thank you for the question. One of the things that, you know, when we talk about the one nice thing you did know is the reason that you have the problems that you do. And that's like I've said probably several times in this call, is that when we do indulge and eat something that our body is very sensitive to, that it pretty well much, not an hour to 2 hours down the road, or sometimes even instantly in regards to a particular MSG, and that is that our bodies immediately respond. And our bodies, and that's all your body has done, is talking to you and telling you that that sharp cheese and is what's creating the problem. One of the things I do know about toxins, and is that we can flush toxins from our body. So one of the things I would probably suggest right away, and that would be to just drink as much water as you possibly can to help flush those toxins out of your body. Ruth, do you have any suggestions or comments?
Not as much as how to get rid of it, but how to stay off of it. Of course, eliminate all the dairy products, right? It's on elimination. I think I need to make a list for everyone of the elimination list that we're talking about for at least 3 weeks that we would not be eating. And so I need to make one of those, a list like that. I don't know what to do after, except stay off all the dairy products and all the meat products, except maybe a fish, for 3 to 6 weeks.
Well, you know, do you think possibly that that the sharp cheese that she's eating has a lot of MSG in it?
Oh, I think just the dairy product itself will give her a gouty problem.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any comments in regards to her question that you think might help her getting rid of them as fast as she can? But I think that's the main thing, and that's, you know, that's one thing I like about the chart. You know, that in journaling, and that is that when we do have those particular situations that occur within our body, you know, the chart's right there. We can go back and look at it and tell exactly what we had to eat that day or the day before. And,
I have a quick question. I don't mean to interrupt you. Have you Have you ate any shellfish, any shrimp?
No.
Okay.
No, because I know not to do that. I got a list from my doctor about the things that produce crystals, uric acid crystals, and so I've stayed away from that. I think I just discovered that I really can't do the cheese, which is one of the things I love most in this world. So, but if I want good health, I'm just going to have to follow the program here. And I appreciate your answers, everybody. Thank you.
Also listed, Monty mentioned the MSG, and on our website, the ybhurton.biz or .com, are the foods that are MSG or high in glutamate that are not put on anybody's on the food list, ingredient list, on the foods, and on the ones that have high natural glutamate are Roquefort cheese, Parmesan cheese, and gluten, and portobello mushrooms, and then there's one that says other aged cheeses. So it may also be because of the natural glutamate in the cheese, as Monty suggested. And that list is on YB Hurton.
Yeah, one of the things I think that we need to understand is that MSG is basically glutamate, which pretty much is MSG, is actually in our bodies, and our bodies do need it. The problem with eating certain foods is it increases that MSG within our body, and that's when our bodies become very sensitive to MSG. So when we go out and eat food, or we eat certain foods or buy certain foods in the grocery store, see, what we got to remember is the reason MSG was pretty much was developed, and that was to basically trick the body into thinking that that food tastes good. The other thing that a lot of manufacturers of food are doing is that by putting MSG into particular food like soup, there's a lot of MSGs in soups and things like that, and that is to make you think that it's like they took chicken noodle soup and they found out by adding chicken noodle soup that, you know, like Campbell's chicken noodle soup is an example, and I'm not talking bad about Campbell's, it's just that you need to stay away from the products, in my opinion. But it's to trick your body into thinking there's more chicken in there than what's basically in there. So they don't have to put, and they look at it as a bottom line thing. They don't have to. You ever eaten Campbell's chicken soup? There might be two or three or four little pieces of chicken in there. But the reason they put the MSG in there, and that is to so that the body thinks that it's actually getting more protein than what it's getting. So when you start to learn more about MSG and pretty much how it, where MSG comes from, and for those of you that are on the WebEx, I found this site and I sent it to Ruth, but it's basically pretty much about the truth about MSG. And if you want to get more information, I guess you can go there, but let me see here just a minute. I had a... Ruth, could you click... Could you click on the heading of what's exactly in MSG?
You mean on this MSGtruth.org?
Yes. Can you do that? Will that come up and show on the WebEx?
Yeah, I've got the whole article here where I haven't read through the whole thing. And so what's in MSG? Is it down, it's down here a ways?
No, go to the top. Go back to the top.
Oh.
And then click
I don't
on,
know.
What exactly is MSG? It's up a little higher. There you go. Thank you.
Well, I've never tried doing this. I'm not sure if this will work.
Well, we're going to find. There it is. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Now, on this website, if you want to know anything about MSG, you can just go there. But basically, you know, it talks again about what is MSG. It is nothing more than a salt that is amino acid. For those of you that aren't on the WebEx, I don't know how to explain it to you, but it's a wonderful site, and Ruth has it up on the page on the WebEx right now. But can you scroll down a little bit, Ruth?
I'm going to have a whole education here on MSG. There are so many things that you can click on and read more and more and more. What is the one you want me to go to?
Just scroll down a little bit. Keep scrolling down. Keep going. A little more. You see it talks about that. Okay, keep going. I know this is difficult for those of you that aren't on. There we go, right there. Why do food companies add MSG to it? Well, here again, just what I just said, and that's where I got some of my information, that it just basically tricks the body into making it think it's high in protein and nutrients. And pretty much MSG, as you can keep scrolling, Ruth, MSG stimulates the pancreas to produce insulin. We know what it's done. It basically, the cost is created by adding MSG to food products. It enables the food processor to add less real food. And I've gotten a lot of good information off this. Now, if you can go back up again, Ruth, all the way to the top. I know this. We're doing this for the first time, so if people just bear with us.
This is one right here. It says protein block and excitatory neurotransmitter. And so it's just in there, excites your neurotransmitters so much that they kill themselves. So that's just killing off your brain there, if you're going to have any of that. If you want some of your brain killed off, we'll have some MSG. Okay, I'm at the top there, Monty.
Now go to, it says body systems affected by MSG. There you go, right there. And amazing things that what MSG does, and if you'll see there, you get allergic responses, blood pressure, may create taurine, I think it is, in our bodies, brain, Ruth just talked about it, MSG breaks over, digestive system, hearing. That was the kind of thing that got me, was it says that the hair cell, for those of you that aren't on the WebEx, it says the hair cells of the ear use glucomate as a nutritious transmitter. Overstimulating of these cells by glutamate can result in ringing of the ears. You know, I have, my mother, when she was alive, had a friend that always had this ring in her ear, and she could never get rid of it. And when you realize what it basically MSG does to our body and glucomate, that we have might have some answers here for people. Hypoglycemic. You know, what it does to the, stimulates the pancreas, which decreases blood glucose. The lungs, things that it does in the lungs. Asthma, people, the nervous system. On that nervous system, when I think it does, well, I don't, it doesn't do it here. But see, our nervous systems produce a product that we need, it's called myelin, I think, in order for our nerves to fire. If our nerves don't fire properly within our bodies, our body then doesn't function the way that it needs to function. Well, MSG basically pretty much destroys this myelin product. It's on the website here somewhere, and this that really is just totally. We wonder why. See, here we have. They're also finding out that the myelin, and particularly in multiple sclerosis, is pretty much due to the firing of those of the nerves, and MSG is one of the culprits in that particular thing. Look at what it does to thyroid function. So, well, we're getting a little bit over here, but we could really get into one of the, could you bring up, go back to the top and then bring up disease statistics? There you go. When we look at some of the problems that we've had, and I just want to say this before we get started, is that what we need to think about is that over the years, before we had MSG, we didn't have a lot of the problems that we have today. And if as Root scrolls down, you can go ahead and scroll down, we find out that 500%, that's good, okay, that asthma and ALS, and I think it was AD, scroll up just a little bit. There it is, stop right there, okay. ADHD, and how many people do we know? How many times are we hearing articles in the paper of our children are now getting so involved and that our children are being so medicated for ADHD? And basically, it says according to the link that follows, and I don't want to go there, but there's been over a 500% increase in the number of prescriptions written for ADHD since 1991. Isn't it amazing that MSG was produced in the late 1980s, early 1990s? And all of a sudden, our children, which were eating all this fast food and just basically food that has all this MSG, that now they're starting to have problems. ALS is an example. As Ruth scrolls down here, asthma. People would have asthma that MSG triggers that. Autism, arterial fibrillation. It's amazing. Depression, all the things that they're finding and have research now in regards to what MSG does. Diabetes, type 1, type 2, high blood pressure. You know, like it says right there, it stopped right there, Ruth. It says about just over a decade ago, closer to 1 in 4 Americans had high blood pressure. And 2 decades ago, the rates actually were declining. About 65 million American adults now have high blood pressure, 30% more than the 50 million who did in the previous decade. It's like, heat, you know, that's amazing. You take heat strokes as an example. How many times are you starting to hear now about athletes and high school players that are having problems and dying and on the playing field just because of heat strokes? And MSG is a problem with that. Migraines, you know, you can just get into a lot of things. And it's kind of getting late here, and I don't want to get too involved here, but maybe we can get into some of the other stuff more important. But basically, what do also go up on top now, Ruth, and just click on what to eat.
Now we better just say something about that, to like what not to eat if we don't have anything to eat.
Well, you know, sometimes I think scareness makes people aware, but there's got to be an answer to that. And when you realize that there's better things to eat, and basically there's a list, folks. Just basically eat organic, fresh fruit and vegetables, organic frozen vegetables, naturally, if you do want to have protein and meat, animal meat, make sure they're raised properly on natural things, and homemade rice milk and almond milk. And I know in the last call, Mary Lou had talked about how she used to make her own homemade rice milk. Just olive oil and fresh squeezed lemons, you know, what does that do again to us? We know that lemons and limes are alkaline, so just by, if you happen to go out to eat in a restaurant and you don't have your water bottle with you, just make sure that if you have, order up some water and ask for some limes, some lemons. Then get about two or three of them and squeeze it in there, and boy, you're getting your alkaline water, and your anything else that you might eat that you shouldn't be eating is beneficial. So, read labels. And I know that the manufacturers, and there's some other slides, other things in here that are real important, but just start reading labels. And unfortunately, I have to say this, is that the manufacturers are now doing things to hide MSG in products because MSG has gotten such a bad syndrome. And, you know, one of the things I find in here, and I don't forget where it is, but a lot of people, when you go to talk about MSG, the first thing they say is, well, I don't have to worry about MSG because I don't eat Chinese food. Because the Chinese, that's one of the amazing things, is that when we think of MSG, it's always been related to Chinese-type foods in restaurants. But trust me, it's not just Chinese-type foods. And MSGs are sometimes put in food when they're manufactured, and sometimes MSG is put in food after it has been cooked, during preparation, when they're cooking it, or after they cooked it. And there again, that's that old theory, is it makes things taste, tricks the body into making it think certain things. So I think that's pretty much where I want to go on this, Ruth, and I want to thank you for that. This is very informative on for those of us that are on the WebEx. For those of you that are not, I really recommend that you, if it's possible, I know it's not. Some of you at work, some of you are driving, some of you maybe don't have access to it, but if you can, it's very, in my opinion, it's very important to be on the WebEx because of the things that Ruth puts up here. So, Ruth, I want to thank you for bringing that up, and I guess if people want to know more about it, they can just go to that website, which is nothing more than msgtruth.org, and that'll bring you to the home page, and you can go ahead and do some more reading on it if you choose to better understand what MSG is and why and what it's doing to our bodies. And in my opinion, it's the reason. You know, they're even now, the manufacturers are trying to get people that have Alzheimer's and ALS and things like that to even include MSG in food for the older people in nursing homes. And I have a thought process about that, and I sometimes wonder if they know that it creates Alzheimer's. One of the reasons it does, it's bad for people that have Alzheimer's or ALS and diseases that a lot of the older folks have that have to go to nursing homes because of diseases like that, that I sometimes wonder, well, I guess I won't say it, but maybe I'll try to imply it, but I'm wondering if they're not trying to open up beds so that they can get more people in there. And so I'll leave it at that, and I don't mean to leave it on a negative, but folks, we're headed in the right direction.
Okay.
Just remember, the foods we put in our body are so important to our temple and our health. And I think the things that we learn about how to just feed our grandchildren, you know, it's like when you go over to people's houses and somebody mentioned they go to people's houses a lot for dinner or whatever. Just be aware of those products that are high in MSG, and just make sure that you try to avoid them, and maybe take along a fruit and vegetable plate with you as kind of a, I guess call it a friendship gift or whatever, to make sure that if there's a lot of food you know that's prepared there and got MSG in it, that you've got those products, which is nice natural foods of the fruit and vegetables that you can put in your body. And just like we know that it's an alkaline, if we eat acid food, that if we eat alkaline food along with it, that it evens it out. Well, it's the same way with MSG. If we go someplace that has friends' homes that cook with a lot of canned stuff or meats or things like that that we know have MSG in it, if we take along something to counteract that MSG, that we're again balancing it out so it doesn't have such an effect on our body. Not everybody, again, is allergic to MSG, but here again, and are sensitive, but I believe it is one of the main causes of why we have a lot of diseases that we do today. Any questions, and we'll wrap this one up for a week?
I have a question, Monty, but did you see somewhere where you can balance out MSG? I can't balance out MSG. It's a poison to me.
I tell you, you know, since we've started this program,
I would definitely question whoever said that.
Pardon?
I said I would definitely question whoever it was that said that you could balance it out. And I think you just can't balance out poison.
I agree with that. Okay, but one of the things that, and I don't remember where I read it or not, but it didn't state it's going to balance it out. I guess I maybe used the right words. Is it the more? I guess I'll use the word diluted a little bit. Now, when I say a little bit, I don't mean that you're not going to be sensitive to it and you're not going to have responses to it. But that's the problem with MSG, is MSG accumulates within the body.
Yeah.
Because of the body doesn't know how to treat this MSG, so it doesn't get rid of it is the way that it's supposed to get rid of it. So every time we have it, it's accumulating effect. It's just like DDT. You know, I hope we're not getting too long. If we're getting too long on the call, speak up, Ruth. But, you know, we haven't been using that for many, many years. But, again, DDT, because of its half-life, lasts for almost forever in our lifetimes. We're always going to be involved with DDT. Even the foods that we grow are going to have DDT in it, a certain amount of it in it, because of it's in the earth. It was treated for the purposes of getting rid of pesticides and herbicides and things like that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that maybe in... Well, I'll try to find that again, Ruth, to answer your question exactly on why they said it does what it does. But it doesn't to the point of, I guess, maybe I made the wrong example of alkaline foods compared to acid foods, but I know, again, that it helps let me put it this way. Instead of having terrific pain, you might only have bad pain.
Monty, I want to really thank you for finding this site and sharing it with us. This is a whole education right here, and if anyone else is doing research and searching the web, there's so much information there. We'll probably take us 100 years to cover all of it, but I certainly appreciate it when some of you find articles and we find out more about what's going on. And so I sure appreciate what you've done here, Monty.
Well,
thank you very much.
Just thank you for starting this back up again, because I needed it, and I needed it very badly. And good things are happening. I'm excited about that. And just hearing a lot of good things that people are talking about and finding out about their bodies. So if anybody have any comments or anything you want to say before we wrap this week up?
Lots of good information. Thanks.
Well, you know, sometimes I find I get a lot of overload on information, too. To where I sometimes wonder, where am I at and what am I going? But there are certain things that I think we need to better understand. And when we do, then we can just treat our bodies and our generational bodies of grandchildren, children, and so forth, and our spouses for those that have them. And it's just a good way to go. So I'm going to wrap it up then. Nobody else got anything to say, and Ruth will be with us again on Monday. So you got the weekend coming up, so maybe just kind of think about a little of the information you heard this last week, and remember when you reach for a certain food, or know that when you do reach for that nice fruit and vegetables and the right kind of proteins, which are plant-based and everything else, that you're doing some good things and be excited about that. Now you know a little bit more than what you knew 3 months ago. So we'll talk to y'all later, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Monty.
Thank you, Ruth.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you all. Have a great weekend.